The message I want to give this morning is on brokenness, like I had shared, but I want to share a story in opening up this message this morning. You know, some of us, when we look at our walls and we say, well, there's a bare spot right there, I need to put something there. So you think about maybe putting a picture there, or maybe a saying that really is catchy to you, something that, or maybe, I know a friend of mine, she actually had her oldest daughter's painting, she had a painting done of her. So she has that on one of her walls. And so every one of us have something certain that we put on our walls that means something to us. Well, this doctor, Dr. Michael Wirth is his name, W-I-R-T-H, not W-O, but W-I-R-T-H, and he has, believe it or not, a framed x-ray on his wall. And it is a picture or an x-ray of an axial view of a decimated hip, okay? And it happened because of a jarring crash that left the hip broken in two places. The brachies was just one of several the victim suffered. And you say, well, why would he want to take and put an x-ray of something like that on his wall and frame it even? I mean, why would you do that? Well, it goes on to say, this Dr. Michael, he feared for her life. So it's a woman. And they feared for the life of her child, an unborn 7-month infant who accompanies center stage on this x-ray. So you're looking at this x-ray, and there is a baby in the center of this x-ray, alive, certainly, floating blissfully, unaware of the breakage all around him. So it's a little boy. It goes on to say, Dr. Michael Wirth wondered, can both mother and child survive? If not, do we save the mother and lose the child, or do we lose the mother and save the child? The great thing is they never had to make that choice. The mother lived, and the baby was delivered. And Dr. Michael Wirth, kept an x-ray as a reminder of God who delivers life through brokenness. A God who delivers life through brokenness. I mean, that's a visual. But sometimes when we experience brokenness, we just, not that we question God, but we look at it and we go, how can you deliver life through this brokenness that I am living in? How can you deliver hope through this brokenness that I am living in? Now, this morning, it broke my heart to have to break this vessel, this vase, and it is kind of dirty, but here's a piece of that I broke, and it says, heartache, okay? Here's another piece, and it says, past traumas. Maybe as a child, you went through something traumatic as a child. A parent left, never, or maybe you got adopted out, whatever. And you're wondering, didn't my parents love me? Didn't they want me? So you can have brokenness there. Here's another one. Broken relationships. I thought my husband or my wife, I thought that we loved each other. And then we'd grow old together. And then there's this one. Broken spirit or a broken body. I've been fighting a physical illness in my life all my life. God, when are you going to deliver hope? When are you going to deliver and heal me? All these pieces are broken pieces. But there is still beauty in that brokenness that we go through. There's still beauty there. Now, there's an art called kintsugi, K-I-N-T-S-U-G-I, kintsugi. It's a century-old Japanese art of mending pottery like I just showed you. that men's pottery. And what it is a gold dust that is mixed with resin, a clear liquid, a clear glue, and it is used to reattach broken pieces like I showed you this morning. Or it fills cracks, resulting in a striking bond, even stronger possibly than it initially was. So it's a stronger bond. Instead of trying to hide the repairs, this kintsugi art, what it does is it makes something beautiful out of the brokenness. So this morning, I did my best. It was heart-wrenching for me because it was, of course, not broke before, and I wrapped a towel around it, and I didn't want small pieces. I wanted big pieces so they could really pronounce. But that's what kintsugi is, and if you want to pull up, like go to Google, they've got much prettier demonstrations than the one I'm showing you. Although this one is going on the desk in the church office up on top. Because I want us to be constantly reminded when we're going through fellowship call, and that's there, that God will take that brokenness that we've experienced and he will make it into something beautiful. And you might be saying to me, Bonnie, that's not so beautiful. I mean, I did my best. But God will make what we're going through beautiful. So I'm going to set this here. And again, it's called kintsugi. Now, the Bible tells us that God always values brokenness. And when we are genuinely sorry for the sin that we've committed, and we go to God with that repentance, then God will take those broken pieces from that sin, and he will make something beautiful out of it. And I know I've talked about this probably 3 Sundays in a row right now, but David engaged in adultery with Bathsheba and plotted the death of Uriah, her husband. And then what happens? The prophet Nathan comes up and confronts him about that sin. Now, until David repents, can God use him? God wants to use him, but does God use him? Not so much, because he's miserable. You even read in the Word that he is really wrestling with this. He knows he's messed up. And what makes him, I mean, a man who's been said to have had a heart after God, how he would have ever thought in his mind that God certainly will look beyond this. Or God will, you know, doesn't see this sin. I mean, but this is the great thing that David does. Once he realizes that once he's repented, he says this, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. This is what David is saying to God. He says, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it to you. Then it goes on to say, you do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. A broken and contrite heart. So guess what, everybody? When we go to God, we've got to be broken. Some people say humble. Whatever you want to call it, it's the same thing. If you're humble, then you're showing God that I'm broken. I'm broken, and I cannot serve you to the ability that you want me to until I come to you broken and humbly broken. You know, when our heart is broken over sin, God mends it with that priceless forgiveness. And that's done when? That was done with the Savior at the cross. He did that before you ever committed the sin that you want to repent for. It's a done deal. But still we have our part to play in it. Buster was and I were talking a little bit earlier about Romans chapter 6 and how when we sin, God always wanting is for us to recognize that we've sinned, and all he's wanting us to do is repent for that sin. Then it goes on to say in Psalms 139, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." So what you're doing, you know, if you're saying sometimes, "Ronnie, I'm going through this brokenness or feeling like I've sinned, and I just don't know how to go to God with this. I don't know how to confront God." Well, simply just repeat Romans 51. You do not delight in sacrifice, God. I would bring it. "You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken and a contrite heart." That's all you would have to say. Then it goes on to say, "You, God, will not despise when I come to you with that brokenness. You will not turn me away." And that's what it's saying. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts." He knows your every thought. You might as well just tell him where you're coming from. You might as well just be honest with him because he knows it anyway. "Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me to the way of everlasting." When we come to God and just be open and honest and repent, what happens? What takes place? That healing. He starts doing kintsugi on us. He takes that gold, silver, or platinum and uses the resin, and he starts putting us together with his love. Because the love covers all sin. Now, Genesis 32:25. See if you can figure out who this is, who we're talking about here. Genesis 32:25. "And now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him." So we're talking about Jacob here. So there was a battle between Jacob and the angel, and it was triggered by Jacob's desire to receive a blessing from God. So Jacob, who we know was a con artist, he was a con artist. He ended up being conned. He was a liar. He ended up being lied to. He was a manipulator, and he ended up being manipulated. And in many ways, he lived up to his name, Jacob. You know what that means? It means heel catcher. He got that name before he was even born. Why? Because what he tried to do, he and Esau were twins. Esau was coming out first. Jacob didn't want that, so he grabs the heel of Esau trying to be the first to be born. That was part of Jacob's, who Jacob was. God knows who we are. He knows our personality. He knows our every thought. He knows our shortcomings. He knows, you know, how we maybe manipulate, or maybe we want to control things. You know, I know, like when my kids grew up, there's things that I didn't want them to do, but they have to learn on their own. And as much as we as mothers or fathers try to, you know, get in the way and not have to have them experience those things, that's what God does. He stands back and he lets us go through it. And then when we come to a point where we are broken because we didn't do it God's way, just like our kids didn't do it the way we wanted them to, they had to find out the hard way. We are God's children. And sometimes we, because we don't listen to his word, we don't walk according to his word, we end up in a position of being broken. Now, apparently God likes broken things. Well, most of us, when we have something broken, like what I just showed you, what are you going to do with that? I'm going to throw that brokenness that I showed you, I'm going to throw it away. But God rarely uses anything until he breaks it. Again, Psalms 51, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." So some of us feel like I'll accept Jesus down the road when I'm done going through my young teenage years, or in my early young years, then, or down the road I'll do it. Down the road I'll follow Jesus. Down the road. So some of us say that, well, by saying that is, I don't want to go to God with my brokenness yet. I'm not ready for that. If God breaks you, that is the only time God's going to use you, is because you've been broken. Think about it. If you've watched any of The Chosen, how the disciples, they all had shortcomings. Every single one of them had a shortcoming or two. And Jesus, through love and compassion, showed them where they were weak, didn't he? And they usually learned by circumstances and situations. But did he put them down? Did he love them any less? If anything, he was more compassionate, because they were so willing to be so open in front of Christ. And that's what faith is. When you are so willing to just open your heart up and say, Lord, it's all right there in front of you. This is a part I'm ashamed of. This part of my heart I'm ashamed of. I'm selfish. I'm self-centered. Or this is a part of my heart where I find myself in fear, in doubt, in reservation. I don't want to step out. I don't want to be bold in this area. I don't want to be confident in this area. I don't know how to act in this situation. I don't know how to deal with this. I can't cope with that. When you open your heart up, you're allowing God to see all those broken areas of your heart, of your spirit, of your mind, of your body. God took a little boy's lunch and broke it and fed it to multitudes. Mary took an alabaster box of ointment and broke it, and she lavished Jesus, her love for Jesus, because she broke that alabaster box. The Lord Jesus took the bread at the Last Supper and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Again, people throw broken things away, but God uses the broken things for his glory. Again, kintsugi is a method of repairing broken ceramics with lacquer mixed with gold, silver, or platinum. But the aim in kintsugi is not to hide the repairs, but to make those features more prominent and put it into the design. Make it a design, just like this one is, a design. And it often makes that particular thing that maybe was broken, or before it was broken, it makes it look more beautiful. Now, kintsugi acknowledges the brokenness. And then these pieces, when they're put back together, look more beautiful than it did before it was broken. So let us look at God as the master of kintsugi. God knows our brokenness, yet he doesn't reject us and he doesn't discard us. It's through that brokenness that we realize just how much we need God. We need our Creator. You know, when I showed you these heaps of broken pieces, when we look at them, that's all we see. But when God sees that pile of broken pieces, he sees potential. He sees possibility for creating something beautiful, something new, a new beginning. He doesn't want us to hide that brokenness. He wants us to heal in such a way that while there's still cracks and there's still scars that are visible to us, they are not something that is ugly and shameful. You think about, and I see these commercials, especially on the channels that I watch. I know a couple of you watch the same channel that I do. And they talk about men who've come back from war, that were active in war. And they show them without an arm, or half an arm, no legs. Some of them are gone, you know, one guy, half of his head is flat because he stepped on a mine. But they've realized that, you know, sure, they had to go through that time of feeling like, what good am I now? They've come back and they've gotten, you know, they're to the point where they can be productive in their lives. They have a purpose. They have a plan. But they had to go through that season of, I'm broken. I can't just look it in the mirror and I'm obvious that I am broken. But the sad thing is that even with two arms and two legs, and I can walk around and think for myself, and I can, you know, reason things, I'm very productive, but still I can still be broken and not even know it. And the sad thing is, these pews in some places are empty because there's people out there that say, I'm not broken. I don't need fixed. I'm not broken. But they are. So how do we show them? How do we show them that they are broken? Well, first off, we pray for them and ask that if it's not you or me, that a laborer be brought across their path. Because there's going to be a season in their life, just like it was with the disciples, just like it was with Jacob. And on and on and on, all the many that followed and accomplished great things for God, they came to a season in their life where they were broken. Moses was broken. Abraham was broken. Gideon was broken. Job was certainly broken. You can have everything. You can have health, finances, you can have it all, but you can still be broken. God takes our broken pieces and puts them back together in a way that displays His glory. Because He is a jealous God. He wants to be first and foremost in our lives. And we will remain broken until we get that in our heads and in our hearts and in our spirits, that He has to come first. Because it is in the cracks and the scars that we see the evidence of healing, that spiritual healing that only God can do, that only God can do. Talks about a story this morning about this couple who ends up getting a divorce, but they end up getting remarried. But before they, once they got divorced, they both in their own separate ways, their own separate walk, found Christ. And then once they found Christ, they apparently ran across each other's path and started dating again, and they ended up getting remarried. And the great thing is, it says now they were remarrying, and there was something about the history of brokenness that made the restoration especially beautiful. And that's what we have to realize, that in that brokenness, when God comes in and repairs that brokenness, just like this vessel, that what it does, it's a restoration that it is especially beautiful. We may not see it, but we might feel it. We might experience it. How many of us can think of somebody who went through maybe depression or, like I said, a broken body, they're dealing with illness or whatever, or drugs or alcohol, and when they were in that season, you saw so much negativity. You saw that this person hated life and they, you know, didn't respect life. They didn't have anything to do with God. But when God came in and repaired that brokenness and brought them to a place where they were restored from that alcoholism or drug or depression or healing in their body, when God does that, you know, that love, that appreciation that they have for what God has done, there's not a thing that can shake that. When they have that testimony, there's not a thing in this world or anything that Satan tries to bring against them that's going to change it. A good example of that would be Job. When his wife said, curse God and die. You've lost everything. You've lost everything. But what does Job do? He still stands by God. He doesn't reject God. And because he put God first, what happens? God restores him to to even more than what he even had before. But that shouldn't be our reason for doing it. It goes to show that the depth of the brokenness that Job experienced, or what we experience, that God's love, that the love of God is even deeper than that brokenness that we are experiencing. When Jesus rose from the dead, I'm sure some of you are saying, I wonder if she'll get to that. Well, here I am. It says, when Jesus rose from the dead, his scars remained. But while they are a reminder of the pain and suffering that Jesus went through, they were also a reminder that evil does not have the final word. So we can look at the scars of Jesus as a negative thing, or we can look at it as a good thing. Same with us. When we look back at when we were broken, and we look back and see what Jesus did for us, and how, where we are now as compared to where we were in that brokenness, when we look back at that, it tells us how far we've come. But it also tells us that in our own strength, we can do nothing. That we are where we are now because he was with us then. It's just like when they say, when you see two sets of footprints in the sand and then all of a sudden you see only one. It's during that broken time when Jesus has picked you up and carried you through that situation. It is during that time when that restoration becomes a healing. The healing becomes. Now it says, St. Thomas Aquinas writes this: he kept his scars not from inability to heal them, but to wear them as an everlasting trophy of his victory. Isn't that the time when Thomas doubted that Jesus was who he was? And Jesus shows him his hands and his feet. That's what we can do. People are going to look back at your brokenness and remind you of it. You know, you might use that as a testimony, and somebody might come up to you that doesn't know Christ and they'll say, well, I remember when you, or wow, well, that's great for you, but that's only going to be temporary. Once we have known brokenness and then experienced God's restoration, many of those areas that were broken are stronger than they were before it was broken. This, I know when I first made this, and it was still kind of warm. There was things I could actually still move around a little bit. And I was a little leery about moving it because I was afraid it would fall apart. But I honestly think that this is, in most places, stronger than it was before it was broken. And that's what we've got to realize, is when we do experience that brokenness, then we experience God's love and God's compassion and his restoration and his healing. We come out stronger and better than we were before. There are places where we have a story to tell and where we have the credibility to minister to others through that brokenness that we've had. There are always places where we can speak hope and shine a light in the darkness of those that are in brokenness. In that broken time, you feel like you're in darkness. And in closing, this is what I want to share. So maybe we should finally accept our brokenness. Accept our brokenness and stop trying to hide it. Stop trying to hide that embarrassing brokenness that we've experienced in our past. God wants you to use that, maybe, to minister to someone else who's going through the same exact thing that broke you. And he's brought you across this person's path because they're broken right now, and you went through that same kind of brokenness. You know what they're going through. You've been there. You've done that. You've experienced that. And God's saying, because you went through that brokenness, you are one of the best people for this person to have, because now you have me. and I am the one that was your Kintsugi. Now you have to help me be their Kintsugi. So stop trying to hide the brokenness, but instead hand the pieces to God and see what he can do and what beauty he can create in us and through us, through that brokenness. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Dear Jesus, we know that you understand suffering. You know it too well. For you bore the weight of the world's pain upon the cross. And we cannot possibly even fathom the depths of that pain. But we are immensely grateful that you endured it all for us. You know, Father, in the shadow of that sacrifice that your son did for our brokenness seems so small, yet that emotional pain that maybe some of us are going through today feels so, so immense. So, Father, we come to you seeking comfort and healing, placing every fractured piece of our brokenness, we place it into your gentle hands, trusting that you will bring restoration, a new life, and a new beginning. In Jesus' precious holy name we pray. Amen.